ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ नारायणम् पद्मभुवम् वसिष्ठम् नारायणम् पद्मभुवम् वसिष्ठम्
विशिष्टम्
शक्तिम्
च
तत्पुत्रपराशरम्
च
व्यासम् शुकम् गौडपदम् महान्तम् गोविन्दयोगीन्द्रम् अर्थास्यशिष्यम् श्रीशङ्कराचार्यम् अथास्य शिष्यम् पद्मपादञ्च हस्तामलकम् च शिष्यम् तम् तोटकम् आर्तिककारम् अन्यान् अस्मद्गुरून् सन्ततम् आनतोऽस्मि. वेरि गुड्. सो ऐ सेड् आदिशङ्कर भगवत्पाद इन् इस् अपरोक्षानुभूतिः फ्रम् वर्स् नम्बर् 101 to the end of, till the end of the text he discusses in Nidhidhyasanam. And as I said, like how in Ashtanga Yoga Shastram, the yoga philosopher presents eightfold limbs of yoga, the disciplines. Here, Adishankara Bhagavatpada presents 15 steps for being contemplative. Step for disciplines. And he says in this verse number 100, Tripancha Angani Yatha. Tripancha Angani Athaha Athaha Vakshe Purvoktasya Hi Labdhaye. For that knowledge which is moksha, which has been mentioned above, and for the method of contemplation, for being contemplative, which has been discussed above, I'm going to tell the 15 steps in order to be contemplative. So I can say the 15 steps involved in practicing contemplation, method of contemplation. So now he says, Taihi Sarvehi Sada Nidhyasanam Eva Karyam. So one may always be in contemplation through the practice of those 15 step disciplines. 15 step to disciplines. Which is said in the verse number 100. Now we'll read the verse number 101st.
नित्याभ्यासादृते
प्राप्तिः
नित्याभ्यासादृते प्राप्तिः
तैस् नित्याभ्यासादृते प्राप्तिः तस् नित्याभ्यासादृते प्राप्तिः न भवेत् सच्चिदात्मनः तस्मात् ब्रह्मणि दिध्यासेत् जिज्ञासु श्रेयसे चिरम् जिज्ञासुः जिज्ञासा मीन्स् डिजैर् फार् नालेज् ज्ञातुम् इच्छा जिज्ञासा our desire to know is jignyasa and one who has jignyasa one who has the desire for the knowledge of truth is called jignyasuhu and that the person the jignyasuhu shreyase for the accomplishment of absolute good called the jnanam which itself is moksha for which chiram for a long time nididhyase he should only be in contemplation which means he should practice contemplation when I say use the word practice we should not mistake it as an action one has to be in contemplation for a very long time whoever is a jignyasu and for that jignyasu for the accomplishment of the absolute end called knowledge of the truth which is moksha may one has to be in contemplation for a very long time and what should he be contemplating on the contemplation is we cannot call it a contemplation only if the vastu the object of meditation is brahman the absolute reality and which is not an object of knowledge which is the very swarupam one's own truth therefore brahman idhyase because in meditation the object of meditation is different from oneself whereas in contemplation the object of meditation is very subject the swarupam of the meditator therefore swarupam of the meditator is non different from the meditator therefore it is not that is why it's called contemplation meditation upon the meditation on the swarupam of the meditator is contemplation meditation on anything other than the swarupam of the meditator is an object of meditation therefore meditation is what different there is a difference between meditation contemplation and here and without this contemplation the accomplishment of sachidatma accomplishment of the self which is consciousness existence is not possible without this continuous regular constant practice of contemplation Nityabhyasatrite Sachidatmanaha Praptihi Nabhavet. It's a sentence. Without the regular, continuous, constant practice of contemplation, achievement of Sachidatma is not possible. What does he mean by saying, not attainment of Sachidatma, attainment of the knowledge of Sachidatma. What does it mean here? Seeing oneself as the consciousness existence, seeing one's own self as the consciousness existence is the attainment of Sachidatma. In terms of knowledge, seeing oneself as pure consciousness existence is the attainment of consciousness existence in terms of knowledge. Which is said here as Sachidatmanaha Praptihi. And that in order to be able to see one's own self being consciousness existence, without forgetting it, one needs to practice will upon this fact of the self being consciousness existence for a very long time. That is what is said in the verse number 101. Now we'll go to the verse number 102.
What is
Rite? Rite is an indeclinable word which means without. In Sanskritam, we have another word called Vina. Vina, see Saha and Vina. Saha means along with. Ramena Saha Sita Vanam Gatavati means along with Rama, Sita went to the forest. When you say along with means Saha. Saha comes with the third case. Then Sitaya Vina Ramaha Jivitam Nashaknoti. Rama is not capable of living without Sita. Vina means without. The Vina also goes with second, third and fourth cases of the word, the declensions. Like that, with the same meaning, Vina, another word for Vina is Rite. Rite, you cannot decline it. It's an indeclinable word, which means Rite means without. So, Nitya Abhyasad Rite means without the regular practice. The regular continuous constant practice, attainment of, Satchidatma is not possible. That's what I said. Got it?
Goes with the fourth.
What is it?
Abhyasad.
Yeah. Abhyasad Rite. That's why the word Rite can come with the fifth case, the fifth case, fourth case, or the third case.
Okay.
See, Ramena Rite. Ramena, Ramaya Rite. Ramad Rite. Like that. Abhyasad Rite. I mean, without practice. See, bhojanat rite, bhojanam rite, bhojanena rite, bhojanaya rite, bhojanat rite, jivitam nashakyate. Without food, it's not possible to live. Like that. Rite means without. It can go with fifth case, fourth case. Anyway, so, let us go to the next verse now. Now from here, from verse number 102 onwards, he begins his 15-limbed, contemplative method practice. And here, Adishankar Bhagavatpada, first he presents in verse number 102 and 3, he enumerates the list of 15 steps or 15 disciplines. 15-limbed discipline, also can say. Or, he enumerates those disciplines, 15 disciplines, 15 steps. Later on, he himself is going to elaborately discuss each discipline, So let us read it now. Read those verses.
Yamo hi niyamastyago. Maunam deshas chakalata. Asanam mulabandhascha. Deha samyancha dritsthitihi. Yamo hi niyamasyago. Maunam cha maunam. Deshascha.
Deshascha.
Kalata.
Kalata.
Maunam deshascha kalata.
Maunam deshascha kalata.
Asanam molabandhascha.
Asanam molabandhascha.
Deha samyancha.
Deha samyancha.
Dritsthitihi.
Dritsthitihi.
Prana sayamanan chaiva.
प्राणसंयमनं
चैव प्रत्याहारश्च धारणा आत्मध्यानं समाधिश्च रोक्तान्यङ्गानि वैक्रमात्
प्राणसंयमनम्
चैव
प्रत्याहारश्च धारणा
आत्मध्यानं समाधिश्च प्रोक्तान्यङ्गानि वैक्रमात्
So in this verse number 102 and 3, he presents the list of, he enumerates the list of those 15 disciplines as method of contemplation. And he also uses the same words used in Ashtanga Yoga. So the 8 names used in Ashtanga Yoga are also used here. Plus he adds some more. But he gives a different meaning for all these words. It does not mean the yoga, the meaning of these words given Ashtanga Yoga are wrong or anything. The same words used in Ashtanga Yoga are used here with some added words. But the meanings are different. So what does the word Yamaha mean in Ashtanga Yoga, and what does the word Yamaha mean as a discipline of involved in contemplation? We have to know the difference. And it is very important for us to know both the meanings. So wherever necessary, we'll also see both the meanings. And the meaning in yoga philosophy, and meaning in Vedanta Shastra. Why? Because whatever meanings are given in Ashtanga Yoga, you know, for those words, for the disciplines, and those meanings are also important for us. Why? Because for a Manda Madhyama Adhikari, those disciplines are also valid. Should not forget this. For Manda Madhyama Adhikari means what? For the person who is still struggling to prepare his mind for knowledge, for him, those disciplines are also highly valid. They're not useless. But here, the same, in the meaning of the same verse, with along with that verse, given in the context of Nididhyasanam, is for a more evolved student. Uttama Adhikari. Doesn't mean one is inferior, one is superior. Both are adhikaris, and one who is not mandamadhyam adhikari will become one day uttama adhikari. That is the meaning. Therefore, let us see the literal meaning of each word first. Then Shankar Bhagatpada himself is going to explain these words. So we will see what he is going to explain later on. First, yamohi, then take yamaha. Yamaha. Number one discipline is what? Yamaha. See, in yoga philosophy, the word Yamaha means don'ts. Don'ts means what? Things to be avoided. Following strictly the discipline of avoiding certain things. It's called Yamaha. That's where rest. Ayamaha means Yamaha has come from the root yach, yam. Like gam gachati, yam yachati. Yachati means restraints. restrains, withdraws. That is the meaning. So, Yamaha in yoga philosophy means restraining. So, having certain mastery over the senses is Yamaha. But what is the same in Vedanta, in the context of contemplation, we'll see later. What Shankaracharya is going to say, we'll see later on. Then, Niyamaha. Number two, Niyamaha. Niyamaha means dues. Niyamaha stands for dues. So, Niyamaha is a discipline of deliberately doing certain things. So, discipline of effortfully avoiding certain things is Yamaha, and deliberately doing certain things deliberately is called Niyamaha in yoga philosophy. You will see that also clearly later on. Then Tyagaha. So Niyamaha, we can say also what now? Mastery over the mind. Mastery over senses like Shamaha and Damaha. Here we can say, but it will be different. Mastery over mind in this context. And here, next is Tyagaha. Tyagaha means what? Tyagaha literally means giving up. Deliberately giving up. Then Maunam. Maunam, see this Tyagaha is added here. Yamaha, Niyamaha, they both come in Ashtanga Yoga. Tyagaha, Maunam. See Tyagaha, Maunam, Deshaha, Kalata, etc. are added by Shankaracharya here. Now Maunam literally means, silence. And what he means is, what does the word silence mean in the context of contemplation? We'll see later. Now you know the literal meaning here. Then Deshaha, again, the place. Deshaha literally means place. Kalata means kalaha. Kalata means kalaha. And kalaha means time, very well. So time, place, silence, renunciation, they're all given as disciplines here. But what do they mean as disciplines? Context of contemplation? The Shankaracharya himself is going to explain it. Cha and. Then asanam. Again, asanam comes there also in Ashtanga Yoga. But this asanam is used here also. Asanam, here is a posture, a given posture, is asanam. There we have certain physical exercises which are supposed to practice for mental and physical discipline. Asanam. And here, what is the word posture here? This concept we'll see later on. Then Moola Bandha. See Moola Bandha. Bandha means tying. And Moola Bandha means actually deliberately by following certain practices and tying the body what now? Making the body disciplined. It's called Moola Bandha. Remember, the Moola Bandha is actually disciplining the body by deliberately practicing certain things. Then, Deha Samyam. Deha Samyam is equilibrium of the physical body. Then Drik Sthitihi. Drik sthiti. Drik means vision. And sthiti means just a position, which means steadiness of the vision. Again there comes prana sanyamanam. Prana sanyamanam. See, this deha samyam, mula bandha, drikstiti, Advaita Shankaracharya. Prana sanyamanam in yoga philosophy is known as prana ayamaha. Prana sanyamanam, again, disciplining one's breath. The disciplining one's breath is called prana sanyamanam. In yoga philosophy is called pranayamaha. Then, there comes eva in between, which means also eva, cha, hi, etc. added to adjust the meter. Then pratyaharaha, again it's already used in yoga philosophy. Pratyaharaha. Pratyaharaha, actually willful self-denial of certain regular things. Which, what does it mean? With pratyaharaha, I mean willfully means one by one's own will, withdrawing oneself from certain regular things, practicing vows, fasting, etc. We'll see that also later on. Again, dharana. Dharana is actually there also in yoga philosophy, focusing the attention of the mind on the object of meditation is dharana, or holding the attention on the object of meditation is dharana. Then, atma dhyanam means holding the attention first, focus the attention first, then being able to retain the attention on the object is called atma dhyanam. Retention of the attention on the reality, one's own swarupam, is called atma dhyanam. Which is again, Adi Shankara has added this. Then samadhi. Samadhi means total absorption. Total absorption is called samadhi. Total absorption means what? Remaining, abiding in one's own swarup means absorption. Again, I want to give you a literal meaning of each word. And we are going to see how Shankaracharya explains each of this discipline in context of contemplation. We'll see later on, when we are going to see now. And some words, the meanings are different from the meanings of the yoga philosophy, the words used in yoga philosophy are different from the meanings of these words when they used in the context of contemplation. Now, what is Yamaha? As I told you earlier, first we also remember what the word Yamaha means in yoga philosophy, because as I said, it is also valid for the simple seeker who has yet to prepare himself for this knowledge. So Yamaha actually involves, I said, avoidance. Yamaha means avoidance. Avoidance of what now? Avoidance of five things. So I said, simply said, don'ts. In yoga philosophy, now first we see the meaning of Yamaha in yoga philosophy. So, avoiding five things. So, what are those five things? What are the things to be avoided? First she says, ahimsa. Ahimsa. And about ahimsa literally means what? Non-injury, non-violence, non-hurting. So, avoiding the violence, avoidance of hurting, avoidance of violence, avoiding any injury, thought, word or deed, the physical or emotional hurts, avoiding these things. Avoidance of himsa is ahimsa, number one. Which means one has to be very conscious. If, see, as a spiritual seeker, it is very important for one to become mentally alert and sharp to understand exactly what the Shastra says. For the mind to be ready, one has to be conscious of these simple disciplines. Ahimsa means what? Avoiding any hurtful behavior. Hurting. Ahimsa. Number two, Satyam. Satyam means truthfulness in speech literally, but here it does not emphasize you should speak the truth. Avoidance of anritam, avoidance of untrue or lies in one's speech is emphasized by Satyam. It's so important, we are not conscious. If these simple disciplines are not followed in life, where is the question of knowing the subtlest reality? The mind must become much subtle mind, no, just to see its own sarupam, the much subtler reality. So these disciplines are so important. And one can know, one will find joy with these disciplines if a person knows, know that there's no greater joy than seeing one's own sarupam, reveling in one's sarupam. It's a question of knowing the value of knowing or remaining in one's own sarupam. Therefore, Satyam, we are still seeing the first discipline called Yamaha, and that too as the Yamaha, what it means in yoga philosophy. Yamaha, the Satyam, Ahimsa, Satyam, then Asteyam. Asteyam means, steyam means actually stealing. Asteyam means avoidance of, non-stealing you can say simply, avoidance of usurping, possessing, owning anything which does not belong to one legally. Naturally not having any intention of owning or possessing anything which doesn't belong to one legally. So avoidance of illegal possessions, illegal ownership is called asteyam. Because possessing, owning anything illegally is as good as stealing. Not as good, it is stealing only. Therefore it's called asteyam. So the avoidance. You see only avoidance, what should be avoided? The five things which should be avoided or emphasized by one, the or emphasized as practice of one discipline called Yamaha. Then third, fourth one, Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam literally means celibacy. Or even, so Brahmacharya means living a student's life, etc. Literal meaning. But actually, avoidance of improper, illegal sexual relationship with any other sex, any sex. Illegal, anything is illegal and improper. And then, therefore, we can say, Ahimsa Varjanam. Varjana means avoidance or giving up or not indulging in. So Himsa Varjanam Ahimsa. Anruta Varjanam Satyam. Steya Varjanam. Ashaurya Varjanam or Steya Varjanam is called Asteyam. Brahmacharyam means Maithuna Varjanam. Maithuna means, if you came across this word in Shankaracharya's Bhashyam in Mundaka Upanishad, I don't know whether you still remember that or not. Maithuna means improper, illegal sexual relationship. So, Maithuna Varjanam is what? Brahmacharyam. Then, Aparigraha is the fifth thing to be avoided is Aparigraha. Aparigraha literally means sannyasaha. Again, but here, avoiding hoarding or accumulating the wealth more than what is required. Avoiding unnecessary extra accumulated wealth, accumulation of wealth. Therefore, we can say aparigraha also implies living a simple life with high thinking is aparigraha stands for. Therefore, if you see ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, brahmacharyam, aparigraha, these are the five things together constitute as one discipline called practicing these fivefold things. Now, avoiding these fivefold things actually imply avoidance of five things. The five words imply or indicate avoidance of five things, and avoidance of these five things together become what? One discipline called Yamaha in yoga philosophy. It is very important discipline, because if this discipline, what it means in yoga philosophy is not practicable or not practiced, then the one cannot be really qualified for jnana. The jnana is very important. Then, so what does it mean here? In Vedanta, or in the context of as a discipline, it means avoidance of these five things is Yamaha there. But here, will you read the next verse now? 104, verse number 104, we read it. What it means here in the context of contemplation, we see here. Sarvam brahmeti vijnanat. Indriya grama sayamaha. Sarvam brahmeti vijnanat. Indriya grama sayamaha. Yamoyamiti samproktaha. Yamoyamiti samproktaha. Abhyasaniyo muhur muho. Abhyasaniyo muhur muhu. Okay. Now we are seeing the meaning of the word Yamaha in the context of contemplation in this verse number 104. And here you should remember the one who is given to the contemplation, or one who lives a life of contemplation, is supposed to have already got clear knowledge of self being Brahman. You know very well, Shravanam would have given him the knowledge of the self being Brahman, and Mananam would have made that knowledge much clearer. Doubt-free knowledge. Now he is constantly dwelling upon that clear knowledge of the self being Paramatma. Therefore, already this contemplating person, the person who is contemplative, is supposed to have known already what now sarvam brahma iti. The contemplative person, contemplating person, already knows what's brahma. Everything here is paramatma, the absolute reality. All that is here is limitless reality, the consciousness existence. There is no reality other than limitless reality other than consciousness existence, and all that is here is the manifestation of that reality. There is no second thing, there is no second reality other than Brahma. Iti vijnanam, this clear doubt-free knowledge already this person has. Due to that clear knowledge of self being already Paramatma, and all that is here is only Paramatma, for him in his understanding, clear knowledge is called vijnanam here. Vijnanam, visesha jnana means doubt-free, clear knowledge born of shravanam and mananam, that all that is here is Brahma. Due to this knowledge, now what happens for him? Whatever, when he, after gaining this jnanam also, as I told you, when he was living a life of karma yoga, when he was practicing other disciplines, he could manage his emotions, but he has not yet resolved the emotions. So because he was able to manage the emotions, he could focus on Shastra study, he was able to be reflective, was able to listen and reflective, and he was able to gain this jnana. But still, even after having gained the knowledge, still the emotions being there, unresolved, they may come up and disturb this person. What does it mean? Not only this knowledge, not only this like orientation problem we already discussed about it. The problem of the habitual error. Even in one's own subconscious, lot of unfulfilled desires will be there. Our desire once upon a time he had them. So he managed desires, has not yet resolved desires for good. Therefore those desires which are there underneath, they may surface. So when he perceives the world, he made sense objects which he is perceiving, even though his clear knowledge of the self being Brahman is there, everything is Brahman, the knowledge is there, still there may be the problem of being tempted by sense objects. What does it mean? Still, the desire for the sense objects may really disturb his mind. Now when he sees those things, external world of objects also, and any object cause any disturbance also, because of his unresolved emotions in the mind, desires in the mind, subconscious, when they surface, because then how should he see them? There's also contemplation. When he should remember very well, they're all mithya. He should remember the fact how each sense object I perceive is mithya. Before also the same desires were there. Before in jnanam also the desire was there. But they were managed. Now after jnanam also still the jnana desires are there. But these desires are not managed, they are resolved. In contemplation, desires and emotions become resolved, and then in before jnanam, the desires were managed. practicing dharma, living a life of dharma, commitment to live a life of values helped him help the seeker to manage his desires, but they were not resolved. Whereas after jnanam, the same, so from the subconscious, still the desires may surface, still the sense objects may take one to, the sense objects perceived may cause some disturbance. But before he had value for those sense objects, but he had to, manage them, the desires. But now he is resolving the desires. When the desire for sense objects arise, when he perceives the sense objects, he has to remember the fact. It is not controlling, it is now cognitively resolving. He's not controlling. Oh, these objects are of, you know, these objects are really tempting. But now I know the fact, I am Brahma. Everything is Brahman. The reality is only myself, which is Paramatma. But all these I see externally are the names and forms, the objects which are tempting are only mithya. They are time bound in nature and they are mithya and Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. These forms are all mithya. They, in fact, the simply as though existing names and forms, they seem to be tempting. The temptation itself is mithya. Brahman is the only Satyam. This is this sort of resolving. Now, when you see this fact that they are mithya, the before knowledge you cannot see these objects as mithya. Even though you understand, but only after jnanam, now you are, because knowledge is very clear, they are all mithya. This again and again reminding yourself of the fact, anything which tempts you in the world, if you remember, the knowledge should help you to see the mithyatvam of everything. The satyatvam of Brahma, satyatvam of Atma is very clear. Therefore, in the light of the knowledge of satyatvam of Brahman, you also see the mithyatvam of, repeatedly you also see the mithyatvam of external objects. That by you avoid them. Okay, this is called what now? This is by having mastery. Having total mastery over sense organs. Mastery over sense organs means, in your understanding, sense organs are mithya, the sense, the perception is mithya, sense objects are mithya, the pleasure born of the enjoyment of the sense objects are mithya and time bound, and even the enjoyment which is proper only when the sukshma exists in the physical body, which is situated as mithya, the sukshma is mithya, stholam is mithya, the perception which takes place only during the waking state is mithya, because there is no perception deep sleep state, which is therefore perception itself is impermanent, which is dependent on the function of the organs, sense organs and the mind. Therefore, all mithya. What is not mithya here? So here, Indriya Grama Sanyamaha. See that word? Indriya Grama means, all the sense organs together called Gramaha. Indriya Gramaha means all the set of all the five sense organs, senses. Sanyamaha means mastery. So complete, the total mastery over senses by seeing the mithyatvam of senses, the perception and the sense objects, thereby ignoring them in the light of the clear knowledge of self being, Parabrahman being the only reality. Satyam. Which is called Yamaha. Is it clear? He is clear or not?
Yes.
What do you see? Seeing the mithyatvam of sense organs, perception and sense objects, thereby ignoring them, ignoring is possible only if you see the mithyatvam. You can see the mithyatvam of everything only because you're reminding yourself of the fact what is satyam. And reminding oneself of what is satyam is what? Nididhyasam. And in nididhyasam, when you are reminding yourself of the self being Brahman, the consciousness, existence, reality, you see the mithyatvam of these things. You see everything is Brahman means what I perceive then. They do not exist for you. This, when you say mithya means, this in sense organs are mithya means sense organs are as good as non-existent. The perception is as good as non-existent. The perceived objects are as good as non-existent, which are not real, which are as though. This is the seeing, this is called seeing the fact about the nature of this, what is perceived. Seeing mithyatvam is what? No, having mastery over senses. Which means sense organs, the sense objects cannot tempt the dragged senses. Or the senses cannot drag the mind towards the sense objects. They may report the sense objects. Sense organs may report the, because the job is to report the sense objects even after jnanam. Because you are living in the world, as prarabdha is to be exhausted. And then when you are living in the world, means you are perceiving the world, you are perceiving the objects, are you still using sense of any ordinary being, human being. So, but still here, this is very beautifully said in second chapter of Gita. Which means that all the sense objects, no, there is no taste for all of them. They all become tasteless. What does it mean? Because they cannot tempt you anymore. Because of reveling. Because you revel in fullness. That is what we saw that. But here, resolving one's emotions for good. Now naturally, sense objects, the desire for sense objects become resolved because of your seeing the mithyatvam. Okay, this is called Yamaha. So, Indriya Grama Sanyamaha means in Vedanta Shastram as a discipline to be practiced for preparing the mind, it is called, Tamaha. But here, Indriya Grama Sanyamaha does not mean, it's not managing one's senses, or here it is having mastery over one's senses. But which means seeing the as though-ness, mithyatvam of all of them. It is called Yamaha. Yamaha iti. See, Indriya Grama Sanyamaha Yamaha iti samproktaha. It has been said very clearly that having mastery over senses is Yamaha. And how is it possible for one to have mastery over senses? Due because of the very clear knowledge of all that is here is only Brahma. Means whatever is here is only Brahma. There is nothing other than Brahma. Which means whatever is there, everything is Brahman means what is it is perceived here. What comes and goes, the Namarupa which comes and goes is Nitya. The sense of seeing, that's why seeing the mithyatvam of the time-bound nature of the sense objects is what now? It is thereby ignoring them, is called having mastery over senses. Okay, sarvam brahma iti vijnana. If this knowledge is not there, then indriya grama mahaha, master is totally resolving one sense, the desire for sense objects is not possible. And therefore he says that this practice of this discipline, you know, is called what now? Yamaha. So every day when you see these things, sense objects, then may the desires may come out again, but because of your capacity to manage, okay, they would make action before. See, the type, when the desires arise in your mind, what is the difference between managing your thoughts and having mastery over the thoughts? See, managing means, that's why you used to use the word control. Managing means because of your value of knowledge, value of dharma, because of your commitment to live a life of dharma, then you refrain yourself from fulfilling the desire by doing a wrong action. That's called managing your desire. Whereas here, you are totally resolving the very desire. How do you resolve desire? Because desire rises, desire surfaces, but still the desire for objects, you see by seeing the mithyatvam of the objects. And naturally, because knowing the value of the Brahman also, knowing the Brahman being satyatvam of Brahman, and natural desire for mithya thing is not possible. Like what? The example we can give. When you, on the seashore, when you see the seashells, and they shine like silver, valuable silver, and you go and pick them up, only when you see them as silver, they're valuable metal. But once you know they are no value, then even if they shine like silver, you do not know, really make effort to bend and pick up those shells. You know they are of no use. It is knowing what they are, then you lose interest. Sometimes if something shines like something on the road, something shines like gold. You pick it up. When you pick up, what do? If it is gold, it's okay, but if some ordinary paper is what? Do you put it in a bag? Suppose you find something glittering on the roadside. Oh, it looks like a small gold biscuit. You pick it up. We do it in India, that's what I'm telling you. Then, it's a gold means immediately put in a bag. But if it's a paper, what do? You throw it away again. You don't put it back. Knowing it's only a paper, will you put the paper inside your bag or will you throw it on the ground? If it's a gold, put in the bag. If it's a paper, if you throw it on the ground. Similarly, if you know what it is, it is like, you know, seeing the object, desire comes for this object. Because the senses are reported things, and you see them, that they are of no value and they are mithya. When you understand and you resolve all that very mithya is satyam, therefore you ignore. Naturally, the desire resolves. It is not controlled, it is not managed, it is resolved. So, resolving one's unsettled emotions, and by continuously dwelling upon the mithyatvam of the external objects reported by the senses, the constant dwelling upon the clear knowledge of only satyam being Brahman is called yam. It is called having mastery over one sense organs, which is called yamaha in the context of contemplation. And this Yamaha, this discipline of having mastery over senses, is called Yamaha. And this has to be practiced. Abhyasaniyaha. This has to be practiced. Muhuhu means again and again, which means repeatedly. Muhuhu means again and again. One has to practice this discipline called Yamaha. In the context of contemplation. Sarvam Brahma iti vijnanat indriya gram. You are not mechanically controlling your senses. You are not using your will to control your senses. You are using your cognition, cognitive change and perspective change for resolving your desires. Thereby, you are having mastery over your senses, which is called a Yamaha. And this has to be practiced again and again. Let us do now what is Niyamaha, okay? And first we'll see the meaning of Niyamaha in yoga philosophy. Then we'll see the meaning of Niyama in the context of contemplation. Niyamaha, as like how Yamaha means do, don'ts. And here Niyamaha means do's in yoga philosophy. And five things which ought to be deliberately followed, done. No. They constitute, so following, doing five things definitely forms a discipline called Niyamaha in yoga philosophy. Five do's and five don'ts. Five don'ts constitute Yama in yoga philosophy, constitute Niyama. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamaya Purnamavasishyate Om Shanti Hari Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.